Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we're going to read from Canto 1, Chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3, the introduction to this chapter. Chapter 2 is Divinity and Divine Service, approaching Krishna through the medium of serving Him. Is the theme, and the storyline is that the sages in chapter 1, they met Suta Goswami, they've received Suta Goswami, they've honored Suta Goswami, and they've presented their questions before Suta Goswami, which they're eager to receive answers to. And chapter 2 is Suta now begins to speak. He's going to systematically address each of the six questions that are asked in the previous chapter. But it begins where, before he just immediately jumps into answers, he's exhibiting his qualification for being a speaker of the Bhagavatam. He's offering his praises to the person who he heard the Bhagavatam from. The first three verses are Suta's glorifications of Shukadeva Goswami. Suta Goswami was in the audience when Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. So, because he was in the audience, he heard everything. And in the first chapter, the sages say to Suta, you heard everything. But not only you heard everything, you've realized everything. You've assimilated all of this. And therefore, you can give us realized knowledge. So, please tell. And then they have their specific areas of concern. The reason that they've assembled at the forest of Naimisharanya has to do with the condition of Kali Yuga and how to diminish the influence of Kali for the welfare of society in general. So it begins Suta's speaking begins this way. Suta is a title. He's called Suta Goswami primarily, but in this first verse, his name, Ugrashrava. Ugrashrava is the name of the son of Ramaharshan. So, Ramaharshan Suta, someone could call him Ugrashrava. Suta. Bhagavatam, at least in Prabhupada's translation, and the word for word, Suta Uvacha, Suta Goswami said. So Suta is a title that describes his function. He's a speaker of Vedic wisdom. So Ugrashrava, or Suta Goswami, the son of Ramaharshan, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. Srila Suta Goswami said, Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter into the hearts of all. That's what Super Soul does. Enters into the hearts of all. So he's indicating that Sutta, Shukadeva Goswami, is so intimately connected with the personality of Godhead that whatever the personality of Godhead knows, he knows. Vyas speaks about like this in the same language to Narada. When Vyas is in this first canto, he's feeling despondent after compiling all of the Vedas, and he wants to know why he's feeling despondent. And he says to Narada, "You'll know, because you're situated in the hearts of all." Not that Narada is Paramatma, but Narada is so intimately connected to the personality of God that he knows what the personality of Godhead knows. And that's the nature of having a confidential relationship with anybody that's very learned. You have access to all their learning just by being in close association with them. What to speak of the all-knowing Lord? But the language isn't just that you know what the Super Soul knows. It says you can enter into the hearts of all. So that's how one cannot have a more confidential relationship with someone else than a confidential relationship of one who is dear to Krishna. Because Krishna is within the heart. So it's like one has entered into others' hearts. And in this way, a learned person can know the heart of another. Like the example is there with Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a jiva who is empowered by the personality of Godhead to perform a function. That is to judge the good and bad conduct of sinful persons. And how does he know? He's empowered. But Prabhupada gives this example that very expert judges, they're sitting on a high court bench. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did like this. While the lawyers are doing the lawyering, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing his conclusion right in the courtroom, because he understood the lawyers are doing their job and he already understood the conclusion. So, and how could he understand the conclusion before everything is done? By empowerment from the personality of Godhead. Conversely, if one isn't empowered, one can't know anything. One may have very strong convictions about something, but one doesn't necessarily know anything without empowerment. And on the other side, with empowerment, even without all kinds of information, one can understand things. Just because of direct empowerment or dictation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Yamaraj knows everything. Everything that he needs to know for his service, because he's empowered for that understanding. Prabhupada spoke like that in terms of the spiritual master also, in relation to the disciple. It's not that Prabhupada was asked, how does the spiritual master know everything? Well, it says in the Vedas, one who knows Krishna knows everything. Does the spiritual master know everything? Prabhupada's answer, he knows everything he needs to know. Because Krishna empowers him to know that which he needs to know. that which we need to know is how to make our way back to Godhead. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tamina Mamukanyasite. Because Krishna imparts that understanding within his heart. So he knows what he needs to know. Krishna makes the arrangement for him to know. Externally or internally, Krishna makes the arrangement. That's the position of intimacy with Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami can enter into the hearts of all. Because of that intimacy with Krishna, I'm offering my respectful obeisances unto him. When Shukadeva Goswami went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, "Oh, my son! Indeed, only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response. Oh, my son, oh, my son, oh, my son." The echo came back to the bereaved father. The Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, is explaining the role of the sacred thread, or dvija, receiving the rituals, sacred ceremonies that accompany Vedic culture. So the explanation given here is that before a teacher, a spiritual master, would accept a student or a disciple and train them in the Vedas, they would first put them through the reformation process, the reformation of diksha. Because through that diksha, the second birth, thus the qualification to study the Vedas under the teacher. They don't just, "Oh, you'd like to be a student, pay me some money, okay, I'll teach you." They study the qualification of the student and qualify the student by this reformation process, for those that are qualified. And then they begin teaching. So the Vedic system is, one could not study under a brahmana, a teacher of the Vedas, unless one was purified, accepted, and purified. So then Prabhupada extends that idea and explains, then there's stages where one approaches, one is accepted, one is initiated. So that's dvija, or brahmana. And then after one becomes well-versed, one has done one's lessons sufficiently, one then receives another title, vipra, learned in the Vedas. A dvija may not be a vipra, but a vipra is a dvija. So it's a consecutive stage. And then the vipra, when the vipra becomes vastly learned, he becomes a Vaishnava. Just as Krishna indicates in Bhagavad Gita. Bhunam janmanam ante jnanavanma prapadyate vasadeva sarvamiti samahatma siddhurava. So, unreformed, reformed, learned, and Vaishnava. born than Dvija, Vipra, and Vaishnava. So his statement here is a Vaishnava, by this analysis, is the graduate level of being a Brahmana. A Brahmana must, if he completes his course of training, will become a Vaishnava. And since Shukadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the very beginning, he was a Vaishnava from the very beginning because he heard, even still within the womb of his mother, he heard Vyas recite the essential verses of the Bhagavatam. So he had that knowledge impregnated within him. And so he had Vaishnava. And he left. He left home. He didn't need to undergo the sacred thread ceremony. Now that's exceptional. Okay. The rule is one needs to undergo such reformation in order to be qualified to study and learn the Vedas and become a devotee. In Shukadeva Goswami's case, he's the exception to that rule. Prabhupada writes, ultimately, the aim of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord, or a Vaishnava. Therefore, anyone who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first class of Vaishnava, or Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, is already considered a Brahmana, regardless of his birth or past deeds. So this is an important principle being exhibited in this little section where Shukadeva Goswami doesn't undergo. As an example, Prabhupada gives Haridas Thakur. We don't hear of Haridas Thakur undergoing initiation. We don't hear that he didn't either, but we don't hear of it. But he was accepted, although his birth was not elevated as far as Vedic standards are concerned. He was considered the most elevated. He was considered the most elevated by Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya. Lord Chaitanya addressed him as the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name and treated him with that regard and respect. Although he was born in a Muslim family, his past was not glorious by Vedic standards. Advaita Acharya, when Haridas Thakur visited in his home, it was on the occasion of the passing of his father, so the Shraddha ceremony was arranged and all the Brahmanas in Shantipur area came and gathered at the home of Advaita Acharya, and when it came time for offering the first Shraddha, he wanted to give that to Advaita Acharya, to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was saying, how's this? All these elevated Brahmanas, they should receive. I'm this fallen person. And Advaita Acharya insisted, no. Of all the Brahmanas, you are the most exalted because of your absorption in the holy name of the Lord. For you, there is nothing but the holy name. You're already at the stage of perfection. You're the greatest personality in the whole assembly. Again and again, this is referred to in Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Advaita Acharya did like that. So, one who is absorbed in service to the personality of Godhead is in the topmost stage of the whole of the Varnashram system. So, what's our qualification? Our qualification isn't we've done so many pious activities and we're so elevated and so this and that. That's not the case. The case, the real fact is that by some mercy of Lord Chaitanya, in the form of his associates coming somehow by great fortune into contact with our lives, we've become fortunate. Prabhupada spoke like that in one lecture in Brooklyn, Henry Street. It was very moving. Prabhupada was speaking in a very emotional tone in his voice. Like his voice was cracking. He was saying, I was in some dark place and my spiritual master found me and he picked me up and he made me fortunate. Everyone said, Haribo! And I have come to your country under his order, and my order is to also make all of you fortunate, and so I have come. Haribo! And then Prabhupada said, and now I am requesting you, passing on the same instruction from my spiritual master, you go to the people in general, the public, and you take this message of Lord Chaitanya, and you also make them fortunate. Haribo, haribo. So that's how it happens. It's descending mercy from the personality of Godhead through his line of disciplic succession, and one can become fortunate. And the fortune for us is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, like Shukadeva Goswami. Now, unlike Shukadeva Goswami, we need to undergo the reformation process. But Shukadeva Goswami didn't need to undergo the reformation process. There's no indication, in fact, there's indication that he didn't. He didn't receive any initiation, because he was so elevated and had Vyasa's mercy. Shukadeva Goswami did not have to undergo... Srila Shukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Similarly, all low-born persons, be he a Kiratahuna Andhra, Palinda Pulkasha, Abhira, Sambara, Yavana, Kasa, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of Vaishnavas. By the mercy of Vaishnavas. So in this relationship, Shukadeva Goswami is the spiritual master of Suta Goswami, and so he's offering his respects before he speaks unto the one who has lifted him to the transcendental position, qualified to be able to speak. A little important detail is Shukadeva Goswami left. He was within the womb of his mother. He heard Vyasadeva speak the four essential verses of the Bhagavatam. Krishna personally came and gave his promise to Shukadeva Goswami while still within the womb that he would not be affected by Maya when coming out of his mother's womb. So he left his mother's womb, and stark naked, he left the house of Vyas. And Vyas went running after him down the road. My dear son! And he didn't even respond. Desiring very much to train his son, there's a one of the Puranas describes that Vyasa engaged a Brahmin to go into the forest. No. Isn't a Brahmin. He was a hunter. And the hunter was singing verses of the Bhagavatam as he was in the forest. And when Shukadeva Goswami in the forest heard these beautiful verses, he was attracted. And he came to the hunter and said, "Where have you heard these verses?" He said, "Come with me, I'll take you to the person who taught me these verses." He came back to Vyasa, and then Vyasa instructed him in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus Vyasa was qualified to speak the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. He continues, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all the sages, the son of Vyasa, who out of his compassion for those gross materialists who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience." The phrase in the Sanskrit is akila shruti saram ekam. So sva anubhavam, Shukadeva Goswami has assimilated all the knowledge that he heard from his father. And what is that knowledge? The essence of all that knowledge he heard from his father, because his father didn't instruct him in all the Vedas, his father just instructed him in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all the Vedas. Shruti Sara. Shruti refers to the Shrutis, the four Vedas. Shruti Saram is the essence or cream of all the Vedas, and Akila Shruti Saram is the, Prabhupada has translated it as supplement to Vedanta Sutra. There's this little bit, I'll go a little deeper with this technical terminology. Kila means supplement. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, some of you read a little bit of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's, in one sense, it's a commentary on the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. In another sense, it's a kila, or supplement, to the Mahabharata that Jaimini was reciting to Janamejaya. Janamejaya was the son of Maharaj Prikshit. After Maharaj Prikshit was told that he was going to die in 7 days, he turned over his kingdom to his son Janamejaya before he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. Later, when Janamejaya became king, he wanted to hear about his father, Maharaj Prikshit, and his great-grandparents, the Pandavas. So he engaged qualified speakers to recite Mahabharata so he could hear about his glorious ancestors and the personality of Godhead. Janamejaya had already heard Vyasadeva's Mahabharata, but he also, according to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, was hearing the Mahabharata of Jaimini. And he was very excited. He said, "This is so wonderful. I've heard the Mahabharata of Vyasa, and that's wonderful, but this is so much about the personality of Godhead, such focus," because a lot of the focus of Mahabharata, of Vyasa, certainly Krishna is central to the whole narration, but so much focus in your presentation is there on moral conduct and ethics and the proper way to conduct one's life and the consequences of improper conduct. So, making very clear that distinction, the proper and improper conduct, virtue and is the sura and the asura, and the consequences of both. But when he heard the Mahabharata of Jaimini, so much about Krishna. So then he asked, is there a supplement to this? Just like sometimes, perhaps in your academic work, you had to write some paper. And at the end of the paper, you put a little addendum, something that helps understand the paper. And you can get by without the supplement or the addendum, but it's additional information that augments the paper, the main subject, the paper itself. So, the Vedic term kila refers to a supplement to a main text. It's an explanatory notes in shorter form. Things that embellish and help understand the main message. So, the Shruti Saram, that's Vedanta Sutra. Shruti Saram, the cream of the Vedic wisdom. Like, very condensed form, in sutra form. And the supplement to the Vedanta Sutra is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It explains Vedanta Sutra. So that's the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it describes that Hari Vamsa, there's a book, Hari Vamsa, that is the kila to Vyasa's Mahabharata. So it's a standard thing within Vedic literatures. And the Bhagavatam is the Akhila Shruti Saram Ekam. Akhila indicates it's a complete manifestation. Like, an addendum can be incomplete. It's highlighting certain things. And the Akhila, it's the whole thing. It's everything that Vedanta Sutra is about is presented here in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's important. It's on the authority of Sutta Goswami. He's presenting that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the authorized commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which Lord Chaitanya accepted it like that. But here's, on what basis did Lord Chaitanya accept like that? Here it is, in this verse. And Adhyatma Deepam means it's the transcendental torchlight. Deepam means lamp or torchlight. Adhyatma Deepam, Prabhupada explains at the end of the purport, is that it gives the absolute truth and fullness, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan features and fullness, because it takes a transcendental torchlight to disclose those things. You can't, with a regular torchlight, see Supersoul, or see Brahman, or see the Personality of Godhead. But this is a transcendental torchlight. It illumines those subjects, or those objects. It discloses them by its illumination. Adhyatma Deepam. Then it's a qualification for people to have that exposed, because some persons can hear the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam and not have those realizations. So who are the persons that have those realizations when hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Atiti satam pimondam, atiti tirshatam pimondam. That's atiti tirshatam, that those who are desiring to overcome the darkness of material existence, there's something that we have to bring to the table, using our modern language. When we want to get the full benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to be, it's a necessary quality that we have to carry, is wanting to go beyond our material existence, the darkness of material existence. We can get benefit if we want to hold on to our material existence and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but we're not going to get the full benefit. We're not going to realize the personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him. Here's how Prabhupada writes. There is no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. Period. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or an insignificant ant, can be happy. Then again, everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled by the laws of material nature. Therefore, the materialistic world is called the darkest region of God's creation. Yet, the unhappy materialists can get out of it simply by desiring to get out of it. But if we're desiring to stay in it and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, something will happen, but not the full message. So it's a requirement. There's inquisitive Brahma Jigyasa, is another phrase of the same flavor. One has to have an inquisitive spirit. Jigyasa means inquiry. Brahma Jigyasa, inquiring into the Absolute. The conditioned soul doesn't. Although they're getting beaten up by the material energy, they're looking for material solutions to that problem. The unhappiness is there. I get that my thoughts are going to this discussion with this devotee doctor that drove me to Potomac yesterday, or to here, Virginia, from Baltimore. His field is in the field of addiction and how medicine addresses addiction problems. My comment to him was, that's called material life. Everyone is addicted. They may not have a substance addiction, but there's an addiction. Addiction to finding happiness where there's no happiness. It's the language that I was using, it's abandonment of the self. I can't find happiness being with myself. If I'm alone, I go stir crazy. I have to have something outside of myself for happiness. And a theme that I plan on speaking at universities this year is the topic, because there's a whole lot of research on the topic of the whole principle of economics, you know, big in the political arena in this election campaign, the faintly lagging economy of America. But what's the standard of economy? What's the standard of prosperity? It's production, consumption, and elimination of the things that people use, you know, disposal of waste. Production and, you know, goods and services. Gross national product. Goods and services. Produce things so that people can buy things and consume things, the consumerism standard of economy. But the studies show the in the countries that are more economically prosperous, they're doing better in the economic development department, the levels of distress and depression make a whole other market. The detailed studies, just many details, because people get their PhDs and do their research and get money to do their research to find out what's going on with the world today. And they're finding what's going on is, in the whole principle of consumerism, is a cheat. Because people aren't made happy through all the propaganda that says you can't be happy without stuff. Those that don't have the stuff, they're not happy. Those that do have the stuff, they're not happy. One of the studies shows that of all the stuff that people buy, how much stuff do people hold on to after 6 months? 1%. The rest goes into waste. Shocking. And then they have to find more stuff to find happiness, and it's an addiction. So even the whole, just like all this craze that's going on in the current election, it's an addiction manifestation. Not just people that are substance abusers. They're looking for it in another way. But these guys are looking for it in a different way. It's another so-called substance. Or so-called happiness. So-called prosperity. Prabhupada, blunt. There's no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. So why, what's going on? Because materialism is prevalent. It's like in charge. In charge of education, in charge of the government, in charge of the economy, in charge of homes, in charge of everything. In this materialistic society, nobody's happy. Should be one of those things, as they say, duh, you know, something's wrong. Something's fundamentally wrong. But the something that's fundamentally wrong is this: people have abandoned themselves and their real source of happiness. So, Atitir Shatam Tamondam is persons who want to go beyond that darkness of material existence. That's a prerequisite for getting the full benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam, Adhyatma, Deepam, the light that illumines Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the relationship that we have with the personality of Godhead, the spiritual reality is the foundation of all existence. We need that qualification. And Shukadeva Goswami wants to, due to his compassionate nature, that sound is going to be all that is going into the recording. I know what's the result.
I can't turn it off. It's automatic.
No,
In the rest of the purport, Prabhupada is discussing although the materialists, unhappy materialists, can get out of their unhappiness simply by desiring to get out of it, unfortunately they're so foolish, they do not want. Therefore they're compared to the camel who's chewing and chewing, and what's the enjoyment that he's getting? The thorns that he's chewing are puncturing his tongue and he's tasting his own blood and he's thinking, ah, I saw it when visiting in Rajasthan once. I saw a big camel chewing the thorns and his little tail was wagging and he was so happy chewing the thorns. Little blood coming down the side of his big lips and But that's the camel. And there's some persons that understand, oh, that's not a good program. So they become inquisitive in spiritual subjects. So that's the jnani, from the karmi to the jnani. And then we already heard in the previous verse this breakdown. The jnani, he wants to know. So he becomes dvija, he becomes vipra, and he may become a Vaishnava. And Srimad Bhagavatam is to help persons become Vaishnava. Vyasadeva, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, could foresee the misuse of Vedanta Sutra by unscrupulous men, and therefore he personally supplemented Vedanta Sutra with the Bhagavad Purana. It is clearly said that the Bhagavatam is the original commentary of the Brahma Sutras, right in this verse. Srila Vyasadeva also instructed the Bhagavatam to his own son, Shukadeva Goswami, who was already at the liberated stage of transcendence. Shukadeva Goswami realized it personally and then explained it. By the mercy of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the Bhagavat Vedanta Sutra is available for all those sincere souls who Atitir Shatam Tamodam want to get out of material existence. Prabhupada concludes the purport by explaining that while Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural and unrivaled commentary of Vedanta Sutra, others provided their commentaries. Shankaracharya provided his commentary, Shariraka Bhashya, and following him in time, his followers, when coming in contact or confronting the Srimad Bhagavatam, the natural commentary, they spoke badly about it. Oh, this is something new and modern. It's not the real. Vyasa didn't do this. Somebody else did it. Even if somebody else did it, the commentary makes it very clear what the Vedanta Sutra is saying. But it's not that it's new concoction, a new invention. It's part of the original Vedas. So Prabhupada says, one should not be misled by such propaganda directed against the Bhagavatam by the Mayavad school. From this introductory shloka, the beginning student should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature meant for those who are paramahamsas and completely freed from the material disease called malice. Prabhupada's writing is very powerful. So if we don't have malice towards the personality of Godhead or his representatives, then we can accept the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, just the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra. Since Vedanta Sutra is difficult to penetrate or comprehend, we're given this kila shruti saramekam. We're given this supplement that makes it very, very easy to understand. Mm-hmm. Message of Vedanta Sutra, which is the clean essence of all the Vedas, and the message that Vyas wanted to deliver. And so Sutta Goswami is appreciating the compassion of Shukadeva Goswami to present this in such a nice form for the benefit of those who want to go on the other side of material existence. And he was qualified, Shukadeva Goswami, because he not only heard it from his father, but he assimilated it by practical experience and then deliver the message. Okay. Any discussion?
Guru Maharaj, we hear that the whole world is going in a wrong direction, and even the ones who are going in the right direction, this so-called wrong direction, people are going and spoiling the ones who are going in the right direction also.
Okay.
Yeah. And in this situation, as practicing devotees, where we can start or how we can tackle this?
Just take the program that has been provided for us.
Mm.
You start with, just like last night, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You just chant the holy name, the same program. Hear the message of Bhagavatam, regulate our lives and our eating and our work and recreation, like Krishna says. You just follow that program. And there's protection by following the instructions of Krishna and the great souls, there's protection. Even while there's protection, we're in a risky situation. The atmosphere is very dangerous, but being aware of the dangerous situation that you're in, it's not our extra efforts that's going to make the difference, it's Krishna's going to make the difference. We stay very faithful to the instructions. And slowly, gradually grow to a mature stage. Begins with sadhu sangha, begins with some faith and then some proper association. To keep ourselves in proper association and regularly engage in these nice activities together. Just like we're doing this morning. You had a question?
Maharaj, when you were earlier describing about Shukdev Goswami and his not getting initiated, I was just making a technical point that a formal diksha was not given, but he studied from his father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. But the point that Prabhupada was making in the purport is the Vedic system is before studying from anybody, one receives diksha.
Mm.
That's the purva samskar, and then the samskar.
Mm.
And then study.
Mm. So then we should understand that when Parikshit Maharaj calls Ashutdev Goswami as O Brahmana, so he's kind of studying the version of Vaishnava.
Yes. 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 Anything else? Yeah?
Yeah. There's this word apititi shatam that you were talking about. Like just having the desire and then not having any malice, like we can go all the way.
Yeah.
Towards Krishna and his representatives. But it almost seems like people who have had issues with their authorities or things like that in their childhood or whatever, even though they have the desire, they're just so stuck and they're driven by that. Even they know that that's the cause, they just can't seem to get over those insecurity and
there's obstacles, for sure. That's an obstacle. That's a big one. So it takes several things. It takes being thoughtful. And when being thoughtful, then we can counteract that tendency. But that, you know, our effort to counteract tendencies is also not enough. But it's necessary to be thoughtful. And to open our hearts to mercy helps us go the rest of the way. It's true in any religion. It's true in, like this discussion about drug addiction or any addiction. Without accepting genuinely their language as the greater force, without accepting the greater force, one can't go beyond obstacles. Without being eager to receive Krishna's mercy, opening one's heart to receive Krishna's mercy, we'll stay stuck. Even we know better. Even we know we're stuck and why we're stuck. In many cases, people don't know that they're stuck, or why they're stuck, or, you know, the forces that are playing in their lives. They're just being carried like a conveyor belt from one place to another place, and thinking so many things, and doing so many things without just being carried by the conveyor belt. Time is passing, and time is carrying them, and the forces of nature are carrying them, and their conditionings are carrying them. And, you know, as Prabhupada says, the unhappy materialist can get out of this condition simply by desiring to get out. That desiring to get out means taking help, Krishna. So that sincere call must be there. It's beyond duty and rational process. Just like one of the couples that came forward last night to ask something. I'm chanting and I'm doing other things, you know, my career and my family and my mother and my child, and I'm doing everything dutifully. But it's just dutiful, there's no feeling. Mm. What to do? Can't seem to break out of that. So he knows the situation. He knows, you know, then what can be said? You know what to do, do it. So it's, you know, then it's receiving mercy. That makes a difference. It's not just, oh good, if somebody tells me then that which I already know, then I can do it. It's not just something mechanical or a weakness or dependency, artificial dependency or something like that. It's mercy. Any religion teaches it. Any teaching teaches it. There must be an openness of the heart to receive mercy. And that's nice. We're not going it alone. But materialism thinks otherwise. I can go it alone. Mm. I'm smart. I've done so many things. I can recite the list of so many things I've done. So many things. Materialism. That's it. That's Maya. So one has to let go of that Maya and take Krishna's internal potency and get carried to the spiritual position. That carries one beyond those obstacles. And doesn't make the obstacles become non-existent, but literally there's no real substance to them. There's substance to them because we invest energy in them. And we, in a conditioned way. It's an addiction. It's a disease. Material disease. Disease of material existence. But the spiritual internal potency is stronger. Anything else? Yes.
Well, on the same question my mother asked, the goal is clear and the process is clear.
The means to reach the goal. But
like
the will is weak. What to do? Keep practicing. Abhyasa yoga yukta chaitasya nani kamina. Continue to practice. Abhyasa. Practice. Or prayasa. Make, continue to make endeavor. And depend, you know, call out for Krishna. This is one of the themes that comes from our japa retreats. I don't know if that particular topic came when the workshop was done here. But it's not a question of how long, how much time, or how much effort. However much time, we should be prepared to invest that time, that effort, in a quality way practice to bring the mind to Krishna, to be absorbed in the holy name of Krishna, to be absorbed in proper mood of devotion, and however long it takes, whatever effort it takes. That's, you know, emphasis on this same point here. Adhitatir shitam tamandam. If there's this desire to go beyond, to just move from this stuck, material conditioned place and move to the spiritual position, the position of freedom. As Prabhupada writes, everyone has that desire. They want to, like a bird, fly and enjoy freedom. We have to let go of the conditioning. But we're attached. We're attached to the sources of our misery. It's sick. It's a disease. It's unhealthy. We're attached to the sources of our own misery. We can't let go. But can't means won't. But we can practice. And the instrument of practice is very simple. Chanting. And because it's so simple, the mind is restless. We want something complicated. So we get something complicated. But the process is simple. There's nothing fruitive about chanting. And we're addicted to fruitive activities. So the mind becomes restless when we're chanting. We want something, you know, fruitive. But for the commentary on Brihat Bhagavatamrita describes specifically that for Sanatana Goswami, there was nothing in the three worlds except the holy name that he was interested in. Mm. Nothing in the three worlds that he was interested in except the holy name, because the holy name is not of the three worlds. And because of that exclusive shelter, he had the whole spiritual world. And because of his compassion, he was helping those that were stuck in the world. And by his association, lifting them out of this world to the spiritual world. That's the compassion of great souls. And they have the capacity. You have the mace, your divine grace. So, the capacity isn't in our hand, it's coming from those that have the capacity.
So, as you explained, I was investing my energy in conditioned things, and I didn't know that was the goodwill I was carrying, and my mentors brought me to that knowledge. Now I want to get out of that, and I'm trying, and unknowingly some portion is again is going like
we're conditioned. Welcome to the club. We're conditioned. But, you know, at least at this stage you're recognizing that conditioning. You know, other people think that's responsible. That's success. That's happiness. There's nothing more. But those that are being told, you're at the top of the mountain. There's nothing more. And they look inside and say, I'm empty. There's depression. There's lots of other people in your workplace that are taking prescribed medications because they're depressed. Striving, 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 striving. Depression. So, consider yourself very fortunate. You've got the right target. The target is not give up the profession. The target is find satisfaction within. And one can do that. And this, you know, the same... It's challenging, but one can achieve that by this merciful Bhagavatam's guidance and direction and the means of purification. So that the tendency is to go back to conditioning, that's just conditioning. It's not you. Don't beat up on yourself because it's not you, it's just conditioning. It's residual effects of previous activities. The blades of the fan are continuing to spin. Recognize it and reinvest in that which is eternal. And then that becomes your higher nature. That's stronger. But we have to pay the price for our, you know, so many mistakes. Don't blame, don't whine and complain. Keep going.
I almost came to a conclusion that I'm really bad. I couldn't break.
Material energy is very strong. Therefore, the determination must be strong. But the material energy is under Krishna's control. So one might start blaming Krishna. Hey, I'm trying. How come you're not doing more for me? And our desire isn't so strong. Our desire has to become more strong. Mm-hmm. Krishna reciprocated. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that we're trying, we're weak. So our trying, you know, like, you know, a weak person trying to lift the Bhagavatam.
Oh.
We just need to keep practicing lifting. And then our spiritual capacity becomes greater. Right now it's not so great. It's not where, you know, it's nothing wrong with, as you described. The goal is clear, process is clear, we're weak. Keep doing your spiritual exercises, you become strong. Krishna will see, Krishna will help you, that spiritual strength will come. But then, you know, there's more challenges and more subtle stuff, and, you know, but whatever it takes, the determination should be whatever it takes. And the cut with trust in Krishna. Keep going. Okay. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai.